I haven't been called a Torah luminary that often, but it's certainly nice to be called a a Talmid Chacham, and I hope to live up Mirat Hashem one day to some of those accolades. My name is Eli Reich. None of you know me. Some of you might know me. I grew up in New York in a small town called Flatbush. I went to Yeshiva Flatbush Elementary School and Yeshiva Flatbush High School. I graduated high school in 1990, 25 years ago. I was just at my 25th high school reunion in New York. I've been teaching in Shalvin for the last 13 years, and that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know for me. If anybody after this sicha has any brothers, cousins, etc., who they know in Shalavim and would like to, did you teach this person? Did you teach this person? So then I'd be happy to talk with you. I want to share with you tonight really three ideas. It's really three separate ideas, three different ideas, and they're all connected. I wasn't told what to speak about. I assumed, speak about whatever you want. So I am. I am speaking about whatever I want. We're about to start Slichos. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what the schedule for Slichos here in Shalvim for women is. I know that in Shalvim for men, if we call it that, the schedule is brutal. 12:30 at night, 7 o'clock in the morning, the guys are walking around like zombies. What is Slichos all about? So if you go to the central piece of Slichos, you have the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun. What's so special about those 13 attributes of God? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, if you say those 13 attributes, your tefillos will be answered. All you have to do is say those 13 attributes. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe to say those attributes after Chet HaEgel to signify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bond with Am Yisrael is even if we sin, even if we're chote like Chet HaEgel, our relationship will never ever be broken. Just say these special words, and you will be forgiven. This is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's an amazing, amazing thing. All we have to do is say special words. What is this all about? That's what slichos are about, just to say those words. So Mefarshim explain the way they normally explain that it doesn't necessarily mean to just say those words. You have to embody those words. You have to act out those words. If Hashem is Rachum, you have to be Rachum. But the simple pshat is all you got to do is say those words. We have this special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then all of a sudden you say it, that's it. Amazing. Amazing. How does this work? So there's a paragraph that we repeat over and over again in Slichos. I'm going to assume for now that you're somewhat well-versed in Slichos. None of those paragraphs, none of those piyutim, I don't know what's going on in those piyutim either. They're from a language that's barely Hebrew. And even if nowadays we should try to maybe explain them, understand them, maybe prepare Slichos beforehand, I passed in like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was also asked, should I prepare Slichos beforehand? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it would make sense to look over the Slichos beforehand and to figure out what it means, but I never recommend to anybody to do something that I don't do myself. This is what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said. I follow his lead. I never recommend to anybody to do what I don't do myself. I don't prepare the Slichos, they're too hard. But there's one paragraph, you hammer it away, over and over and over again. Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Ramanisa. Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon, and then the whole paragraph, which ends off with, right? And then that's Slichos. We do it a lot on Yom Kippur, and then we do it a lot for the next 10 days starting as Motzei Shabbos. What's the pshat here? So Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful idea when it comes to Slichos, and I will embellish. The Yud Gimel Midos is a special protectia that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that word is a word that is much more in Eretz Yisrael and for people who live in Israel than people who live elsewhere. Protectia, vitamin P, as some people call it. It means you have an in. It means that you have some type of nepotism, some type of connection. That's how he got the job. He got it through protexia. Or you cut the line because you know someone, or your cousins, or you're related. That's protexia. We have protexia with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When are we davening the slichos? We don't daven the slichos as regular times. The real time for slichos is before Vasikin. 4 a.m. Who wakes up at 4 a.m? There are still people. After Chatzos at night at 12:30 at night, that's also the time for slichos. 7 a.m. in Shalvim or Mekel, because the guys anyway are very, very tired and like it's just too much. But when's the right time? Late at night, it's already dark, or early morning before sunlight. That's the time for slichos. What kind of tefillah is that? What kind of davening is that? That's the time you're supposed to daven. It's because the davening of slichos is a different type of davening. And even though it sometimes looks like a davening, it's got a kaddish at the end. It's got a tachnun at the end. It looks a little bit like a mincha. It looks a little bit like a davening, but it's not a regular davening. And I'd like to capture this with a mashal. And the mashal is easy. We sometimes approach Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah. And for that we need a lot of preparation. And we need to speak certain words and say them carefully. And Chazal set us up in order. First Shevach, then Bakasha, then Hodah. First praise, then requests, and then thanks. There's a lot of rules when it comes to how to dress for tefillah. But this tefillah is different. Think about the king. The king sits on his throne all day. All day. He's hearing people come in one at a time, two at a time, and he's judging people all day. And for that, there's probably a lot of procedures. You have to stand in a certain place. You probably stand at attention, maybe even with your feet together. And you petition and you say, this is what I'd like from the king. The king will either grant it or not grant it. But then, there are different people who, when they want to talk to the king, it's a little bit different. We could say it's a best friend of the king, someone who knew the king from childhood. I like the mashal with the king's child. The prince or the princess. What happens? Let's do the princess, okay? The princess. You'll see why we're doing the princess. It's not because I'm a child and for women, right? The princess, the teenage girl, does not stand where everybody else stands and petition the king. She's not going to stand with her feet together and say, may it please the king, you know, and say the whole sentence before she starts even talking. She waits. Because what happens at the end of the day? The king gets off his throne. He takes off that ridiculous fur outfit that he's got on with purple and white polka dots or something. Takes off that ridiculous fur costume. He maybe takes off his crown, puts it away. When he's outside of everyone's view, he takes off his shoes, which are those ridiculous ones that, you know, that have that, you know, that go like a jester. And then he goes back to his study. His study, he puts on his slippers. He takes out his pipe. I have never seen someone with a pipe, but that's just the imagery that I think of. He takes out his pipe. He puts his feet up. Maybe he takes the newspaper out. The teenage girl waits for her chance. Now's the time to approach. And how does she approach? She approaches with puppy dog eyes. That's what I call it. I have, Kanai Nahara, 7 children. I have 1 son and then 6 daughters. I'm in chinuch. You think I haven't been in chinuch for women's teaching all these years? Of course I'm in chinuch. 18 years I'm in chinuch. I have an 18-year-old girl and a 16-year-old girl and a 13-year-old girl, an 11-year-old girl, and an 8-year-old girl and a 6-year-old girl who just started first grade. And tonight she gave me puppy dog eyes. This afternoon she gave me puppy dog eyes. How did she do it? She just came home from the pool in Novi Alone. Novi Alone has a beautiful pool. Bunch of my girls, came back from the pool. And Elisheva, my youngest, my number 7, Elisheva, she came home and she goes, Abba, you know, with the face, with the eyes, it's just, Abba, you know,
tomorrow is Friday, I'm going to be taking a shower anyway for Shabbos. Do I need to take a shower now, right after the pool?
It tore at the heartstrings. I said, no, you have to take a shower. But, you know, I was... I'm at the merachem that she's considering. But that's the six-year-old. The six-year-old doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know how to butter me up. The 18-year-old. Dad, you're looking like you lost a little bit of weight. You're looking good. Wow, the Talmidim look like they're really responding to all of your messages. Can I have the car? She plays me like a fiddle. This is Slichos. Slichos is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets off his throne and he's in the study. Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. The Melech gets up. Every time you say this paragraph, every time I say this paragraph, it's in my head. The Melech gets up from his throne, the Kel Melech gets up, and he's Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. And now it's a time where it's not the Melech anymore. It's Dad. It's not Malkeinu. It's Avinu. Dad, can we talk? Dad, I'd like to talk to you about something. That's the Yud Gimel Midos. That's our special protection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's Dafka at night, when it's not the regular times for Tefillah, because it's really off the books. It's off the charts. We go into this private room, and it's only us who have this deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Goyim do not have this deal. The Goyim have tshuva. The Goyim have the ways of getting mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, getting forgiveness. But they have to do it by doing tshuva. We might not need tshuva. This is a special vitamin P protectia protection that Am Yisrael enjoys. We don't need anything extra special except that. Which is why we actually say in the Kel Melech this line, and in my mind every single time I say this. You know, once you hear a great idea about a certain line, that line should always convey that idea. That's the point of learning. You learn so that it's now cumulative. Now, every time you hear this line, it just conjures up an image. What's the image? What's the line? Kel Horesanu Lomar Shlosh Esrei. It's where the Chazan almost starts. Kel Horesanu Lomar Shlosh Esrei. God, you instructed us to say the Shlosh Esrei Midos. Uzechar lanu hayom bris shlosh esrei. Remember the bris shlosh esrei. What's the bris shlosh esrei? The deal that we have. All we have to say is the shlosh esrei, and we get mechila. That's the bris shlosh esrei. This idea is a beautiful one. It's an idea that actually Rav Soloveitchik talked about often. That Am Yisrael as a whole and as a tzibur have a special relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we just receive things. We don't even have to merit them. We demand them. This is captured beautifully as we're approaching Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's hard not to even say it. There's a part of davening that is one of the most peculiar parts of davening on Yom Kippur, and that is vidui. Vidui, confession. So everybody knows about confession, right? You bow down a little bit. Shamnu b'kazan, right? When we're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, at the end of Shmoneh, sorry, when we're at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we bow down a little bit. Shamnu b'gadnu kazan. But then you know what happens in Shul. What happens in Shul? When the Chazan gets up to Vidui, all of a sudden, everybody does it out loud. So that would be very nice. Everybody does it out loud. Does anybody remember what the Niggun sounds like when everyone is saying Vidui? Oh, ay, 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 ay. Ashamnu, bagadnu, we steal, we're two-faced. It's mamish a song. It's a march. You can hear like the niggun. Everybody's like almost dancing. What are you talking about? It's vidui. Why are you dancing? Why are you singing? Why is it a march? And the answer is, what we're turning to Rosh Hashanah and saying is, you're right. As individuals, we have to cry our hearts out. But as a tzibur, we have strength, and you owe us. We have a bris with you. And because we have a bris with you, you have to accept us. We stole, and you have to forgive us. We are two-faced, and you have to forgive us. We announce that, we demand that. Rav Soloveitchik said that that's what's going on in Shemoneh Esrei all year round. We have the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, individual, private, petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, petitional, private prayer. And then we have for the tzibur. You know what happens in Chazaras HaShatz when the Chazan's davening? It's the tzibur, it's about loud. Out loud. Bekol Ram, why? Yeah, forgive this, heal the sick. Forgive us, bring us to Yerushalayim. We demand it. This is the idea of the koach of the tzibur. The tzibur is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never ever destroy. He made a deal with us. We'll never destroy our tzibur. As individuals, everybody has to be a little bit careful. Everybody has to be a little bit scared. You got a lot of davening to do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But as the tzibur was strong. The tzibur means anybody. Anyone who wants to join the tzibur is part of the tzibur. Tzibur actually stands for, and I don't remember who said this. I heard this, I think, 25 years ago during my Shana Aleph. I don't know who said it. I don't know who he was saying the name of. But tzibur stands for tzadikim beinonim u'rishayim. The tzibur can withstand even rishayim in its midst. The koach of the tzibur is strong. I'll tell you a mashal. You might have heard this mashal before, but it's one of those beautiful mashalim. There was a person who was in university, in college, and he had an exam. And the teacher is saying, he's thanked all of his students. He says, okay, time's up, pencils down. Everyone puts their pencils down. This person in the back, this boy in the back, still writing. Pencils down, still writing. Anyone who does not put their pencils down is going to fail this exam. Nothing, still writing. Everyone starts walking up and giving their exam and putting it on the desk in front of the professor. Meanwhile, as soon as there's only five people left in the room, six people left in the room, the boy in the back saunters up to the desk and he's ready to hand over his exam. And the professor said, I'm not taking your exam. He goes, why not? I said pencils down, and you failed the exam, you don't have your pencils down, you kept writing with your pencil. So the student turns to the professor and says, do you know who I am? So the professor says, I don't care who you are. You are not passing this course. The student again says, do you know who I am? The professor says, I don't care if you're the son of the president of this university. You are failing this course. The student last time says, do you know who I am? And the professor says, no, I do not know who you are. And the student says, good. And he shoves his paper into the pile of exams and walks out of the room. The nimshal in this story is beautiful. As a yachid, as an individual, it is difficult to merit the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as a tzibur, and if you're in the tzibur, which is why so many rabbanim suggest doing things for the tzibur, especially during times of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You have svarim that are on the tables, that are public svarim, like an Otzer Mefarshei Rashi. You have to put it back so that someone else will have it. Sidurim should be put away. Be osek in tzarchei tzibur. When the meal is over, clean up. All the different things that are tzarchei tzibur, then you'll be able to merit rachim. That was, where is a clock in this room? There's no clock in this room?
It's 8:40.
Unbelievable. L'malam in hazman. Shalom for women is l'malam in hazman. Beautiful. Okay, idea number two. Idea number two is a beautiful idea. So how are we going to change? How are we going to grow? How is it going to happen? As individuals, we need to grow. So we learn a lot of Torah. Is that the way to grow? Some of you might even be thinking, after even just being here for a week. It's a lot of learning going on. I'm not the first person getting this slot, am I? No, second person? Okay. There's a lot of learning going on. You're thinking how is this going to better my life? How am I going to become a better person? Better person by learning. Why is it so crucial? I can understand maybe learning halacha because I have to do halacha. All the other Torah that I'm learning, how am I going to change it? So I want to share with you an amazing idea that I only saw this summer. It made a tremendous impact on me. and it related to my life also, once upon a time. I hope to relate that story to. There's a Gemara in Brachos that tells a crazy story. It's one after another, like doesn't stop getting crazy. For the last, like, I do a lot of different things at the Shabbos table. We do a lot of shilas from Rav Zilberstein, interesting halachic shilas. We do sometimes stories from Chazal. So I started telling my kids some stories of Chazal where rabbis got together and then there were certain problems between them. I did that for 1 or 2 weeks. There is a Gemara in Brachos that says that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua were at odds with each other. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. Part of the story will definitely be familiar to you. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, and he heard that Rabbi Yehoshua was paskening against Rabbi Gamliel. So he made Rabbi Yehoshua stand up, on your feet, soldier, and he didn't let him sit down. The Am said, my gosh, he's letting Rabbi Yehoshua stand up. He's not telling him he could sit down. Terrible. What a busha. How can he embarrass Rabbi Yehoshua this way? And this is not the first time. This is the third time he's doing this. The first time, if you remember, Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehoshua thought that it was Rosh Hashanah on a certain date and Yom Kippur on a certain date. Rabbi Gamliel computed Yom Kippur on a different date. And he said to Rabbi Yehoshua, when you think it's Yom Kippur, I want you to go through Rosh Hashanah, carrying things, carrying your wallet, carrying your money, and I want you to come to me, to the Nasi. I want you to bow to my authority. That was time number one. Time number two was another case. This is now time number three. The straw that broke the camel's back. The nation said, enough is enough. And they removed Rabbi Gamliel from the presidency of the yeshiva. Well, they needed to appoint a new Rosh Yeshiva. And they didn't want to appoint Rabbi Yehoshua because he was involved somewhat with a conflict. Do you know who they found? Who did they appoint as the new Nasi? Anybody? Who did they appoint as the new Nasi of the yeshiva? I'll tell you. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Does that name sound familiar at all? Do you know what happened as a result? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah confided in his wife and he said, should I take the job? She goes, I don't know, they might remove you too. Says better for a little bit than nothing at all. So she gave her blessing and he accepted the Rosh Hashiva spot, the presidency. And you know what happened to him that night? Right? What happened to them that night? This is the story where there was a miracle done. And he became, you know, gray-haired, right? This was also only when I became a Rebbe. You know, this gray that's over here is just for show. It's not natural. Yes. Rav Elazar ben Azariah became the new Rosh Yeshiva. Immediately on the job, he made one policy change. What was the policy change? Rabbi Gamliel felt you should only allow certain Talmidim into the yeshiva. You don't open up the doors of the yeshiva to all. Only to Talmidim who are Toho Kibaro. What's Toho Kibaro? Toho is insides, Baro is the outsides. Only someone who is sincere. Rabbi Gamliel thought only sincere Talmidim v'Talmidot should be allowed into the Beis Medrash. The first thing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did and said, get rid of the shomer. We don't need a guard at the yeshiva. He wasn't talking about serious times where we have to be worried about a certain other enemies, foreign and domestic. Get rid of the guard. We don't need somebody testing the students before they come in. Now you hear this. Rabbi Gamliel was somewhat of an elitist. Rabbi Gamliel was somebody who said, I only want sincere students. I'm very worried about giving Torah to insincere students. They might, fill in the rest of the sentence, they might become enemies of Israel, enemies of the religion, and actually use their knowledge that they received in yeshiva against our religion. That's Rabbi Gamliel's feelings. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah changed the policy. Everyone was allowed to enter the Beis Medrash. They had to add, according to one opinion of the Gemara, 400 benches. And according to one opinion in the Gemara, 700 benches into the Beis Medrash that day. 1,000 Talmidim, we'll call it, okay? 1,000 Talmidim were entering the Beis Medrash. Says the Gemara the following few words. Chol she daite
de Rabbi Gamliel.
Rabbi Gamliel had chalishut hadat, which means he felt bad. That's what the Gemara says. He felt bad. I ask you, why did he feel bad? What could he have possibly have seen that made him feel bad? He had an opinion. He had a vision. He said, I only want sincere Talmidim. I don't want to accept the riffraff. Do you know what Rabbi Lez Eben Azariah did? He said, I accept everyone. So you know who entered the Beis Medrash? In Rabbi Gamliel's mind, who entered the Beis Medrash? The riffraff. Some sincere Talmidim, and the rest of the riffraff. The rest of the population. And then he felt bad. What did he feel bad about? You knew you weren't allowing them in. You didn't allow them in because they weren't sincere. Now they come in and now you're upset. What did you expect? Of course that's what's going to happen. They were always trying to get in. You were telling them no. And now they're allowed to come in. So they're coming in. Why are you feeling bad? So there's an amazing idea. Amazing, I think. From the first Gerer Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Gur, he wrote the Sefer called Chidushei Harim. And the Chidushei Harim, the first Hasidic Rebbe of Gur, Gerer Rebbe, said the following idea, and it was at a Chanukah Beis HaMedrash. They dedicated the Beis HaMedrash of Gur. And he said the following idea. He said, you know what Rav Gamliel saw? Rav Gamliel saw people come in, start learning, and then he could see the Torah having an effect on them, and they became sincere. It changed them. You know what he was so upset about? Beforehand he says, let me judge them from day one when they walk in here. Day one. Let's judge all the students in a yeshiva by saying, he's sincere, he's not. She's sincere, she's not. She has tremendous potential. She, I don't know. Let's start labeling everybody on day one. That's Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel labeled everybody on day one and said, if you're sincere, you're in. If you're not sincere, you're out. And you know what he saw? He saw, what are you talking about? Expose people to Torah. And Torah has a massive effect on people. The Torah itself changed them. This idea that being exposed to Torah can have such an impact on you and can change you. It can change you. It softens you. It makes you a better person. You're more willing to accept another opinion. You're no longer arrogant. It takes care of so many things. You have to be open to it. But it takes care of so many different problems that a person has. A person is selfish, but now he has to learn, what does this rabbi say? And all of a sudden, his opinion is not the only opinion in the world. Her opinion is not the only opinion in the world. Someone else's opinion is important. All of a sudden, when you learn with a chavrusa, all of a sudden it's a give and take, you have to learn with someone else. Learning Torah has an impact on a person. Don't judge a person from day one. Expose them to Torah and see what happens. It would almost be like, let's say I had different students right now. I go, he could become a big rabbi. He's going to be a Baal Bayi, so he'll learn Torah. He'll hopefully learn an hour a day. He could be a Rosh Hashiva. I don't know. I hope he'll learn Daf Yomi. What is this, one day? I'm going to start labeling them on day one. Expose everyone to Torah and see what happens. Torah has a tremendous impact on a person. And I'll tell you the story now. I shared this story with Talmidim for a few years. This is the first year I shared the story. And I actually mentioned the person's name. It was during my Shana Aleph. I was not as serious as boys who come to Shalvim and ladies who come to Shalvim for women. I am not as serious as you are right now when I got to Shana Aleph. Well, I was in Yerushalayim one Thursday night, such as this one. And I was in Yerushalayim, and I guess I got lost because I found myself on Ben Yehuda. And now I'm on Ben Yehuda, and I bump into a friend from high school. Her name was Sharon. And I start talking to her. Of course, you have to be nice, right? Even though, of course, you're so firm already. But you have to be nice and cordial. That's what they teach you, to be cordial. So I was being cordial, and I was being nice. And we were talking and schmoozing. And after we finished talking, I said, all right, nice to see you.
Take care of yourselves. Good luck. And she says to me, Elliot. I was Elliot in high school. Elliot, you know you've changed. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean I changed? What are you talking about? She says, the sarcasm. I said, I'm still sarcastic. I still, still making jokes. And then she said something that's not so nice about back then. She said, but it lost its mean streak. That doesn't speak volumes of my past. But what it meant was, after coming to yeshiva and being exposed to Torah and learning only for a little while, all of a sudden that mean streak was gone. Now it's just jokes. Now it's just funny. Now it's just being sarcastic. No more putting people down. No more insulting people. No more demeaning people. The Torah had an effect on me. How do you do it? How do you let the Torah have an effect on you? So this is my third idea and my last idea. It's really one Mishnah, and I just want to teach you a Mishnah. You all know this Mishnah, I think, but I want to teach you an idea behind this Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. It's a Mishnah in Avos. You might even be able to finish the line for me. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham, Ezehu Chacham, Halomeid Mikol Adam, somebody who learns from anyone, who is wise, someone who's willing to allow every circumstance to be a learning experience. Shenemar, and it quotes a pasuk. Let's hear the next one, second line. Ezehu Gibor, Hakovesh et Yitzro, somebody who conquers his Yetzer, somebody who's in control. Third, Ezehu Ashir, Hasameach Bechalko, someone who's happy with his lot. Fourth, Ezehu Mechubad, this is harder. A little bit more silence in the room. Ezehu Mechubad, Hamechabed et Habriot, somebody who honors other people is honorable. I want to tell you, I think in almost every Dvar Torah that you'll ever hear this Mishnah being quoted, they'll never quote all four. They'll never quote all four. Why won't they quote all four? Because they have nothing to do with each other. If I want to talk about happiness in life, I'll talk about Ezehu Ashir Sameach Bechalko. If I want to talk about being a curious person and learning from every experience, I'll say Ezehu Chacham Alomeid Mikol Adam. If I want to talk about Taiva, that a person has desires, and that person has to curb his desires, I'll talk about Ezehu Gibor, what's true strength, Hakovesh et Yitzro. And if I wanted to talk about honor, I would say Ezehu Mechubad, Mechabed et Abriot. Why are all these four statements in one Mishnah? Ezehu Gibor, right, well, let's go in order. Ezehu Chacham, Alomeid Mikol Adam. Ezehu Ashir, Sameach Bechalko. Ezehu Gibor, Hakovesh et Yitzro. Ezehu Mechubad, Mechabed et Abriot. Why are all four of these statements in the same Mishnah? They're four different themes. You'll never hear a Dvar Torah that includes all four. Why would they? It's four different themes. So I want to share with you an insight that is incredible, and my last idea for tonight. And it's from Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham was a Mashgiach in Panovich. A Mashgiach in Yeshiva, a Litvish Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in Panovich. Coming from Europe and then became a Mashgiach in Panovich. And Rabbeinu Yerucham said the following, Yerucham Lubavitz. You know what these four have in common? Let's start with the first one. Ezehu Chacham Halomeid Mikol Adam. Who is wise? Who learns from each person? You know what people think. Who's wise? Well, you have to have gone to a good school. So if you went to a place like Flatbush, then of course you got an excellent education. You know, you look down at all the other high schools out there, and they're like, yeah, well, how much wisdom could you have in a different school? So it depends on which school you went to. And then, you got to get into a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, a seminary in Eretz Yisrael. Call it yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Sorry. Call it yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And how you get into yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, some people have great grades, and some people have pull, and some people have sisters that went to the school, and some people have brothers and cousins and other things that went to the school. And then you got into Shalom, you've been afforded a certain opportunity, and that's why you're wise. And then you got to get into a certain college. And you know, if you can't afford college, if you
can't afford a certain college that costs $50,000.
So you gotta go to another college, you know. It's not fair.
Who's wise?
The person who has all of these extra benefits. Says the Mishnah, that's not true. Wisdom is not based on your circumstances. Wisdom is based on your attitude.
If you're willing to learn from every individual and from every experience, then you are wise. We go to the second idea in the Mishnah. Ezehu gibor akovesh et yitzro. Gibor. Who's strong? So you know how people... Who's strong? Yeah, you have to be given like a certain muscular physique. Then you're strong. And if you were given good training, wrestling training and boxing training, and you go to the gym, but you have to be naturally strong, you have to be naturally tall, broad, that's the person who's strong. What? The scrawny little person. I'm strong. I'm not strong. I'm not talking to myself. I'm strong. But like, you know, I'm a big guy. But like, you know, other rabbanim are not as muscular. So you know what? It's not fair. It's not fair. Now, of course, it's going to be more gibor than me. Says the Mishnah, gvura is not based on your circumstances. It's based on your attitude, on you. Are you going to control yourself? Then you're strong. Ezehu ashir, who's going to be rich? Who is the rich one? Money, finances. Depends what job you get. Sometimes it depends who you know. Depends on the college that you went to. Same circumstances again. That's not wealth in the eyes of Chazal. Wealth is all up to you if you have the right attitude as Sameach B'Chalko. And the same thing is true with honor. If you want to be honorable, sometimes it's not up to you. What? Will people honor you? Depends. I don't know. Depends what people are saying about me. Depends what kind of reputation I have. No. If you give honor to other people, then you're honorable. You know what this mission is saying? This mission is saying one idea. And that idea is, it's all up to you. It's dependent on your attitude. If you want to be a wise person, a wealthy person, a strong individual, and someone who is honorable, it is all up to you. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame circumstances. Don't blame your family. Don't blame anyone else, because it's all up to you. It'll be all up to you. And that's the only way we'll allow the Torah to grow this year. I shared with you three ideas tonight. I shared with you the idea of slichos, is the time where God gets off from his throne, Kel Melech, Yoshev al Kisei Rachamim, and he sits with his study. And then we have a very late night session of, Dad, can we talk? When we had an idea from the Chidushei Harim, the first Gera Rebbe, who said that Torah can have an impact on you. Rabbi Gamliel didn't realize this. He kicked all the insincere people out of the Beis Medrash. He didn't allow them in. And what he didn't realize is, let them in and they'll turn into sincere people. The Torah will have an effect on them. And the third idea we said in the name of Rabbi Yerucham, the great Mashgiach Afanovich, who said that it's all up to you. Change and being wealthy and strong and wise and honorable is all up to you. I thought that it was pretty amazing that these three individuals were chosen, these three ideas. I quoted Rav Soloveitchik from the world of modern Orthodoxy, the Gera Rebbe from the world of Hasidus, and Rabbeinu Yerucham from the Litvish world, because we accept Torah by all. It doesn't matter who says it. It's about the content of that Torah. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful year.